Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, January 4th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, George, and Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners.
Great to be back, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Thanks. So, George, obviously the first episode of 2022, and I thought it would be helpful to start with you giving us a quick rundown of what people can find in your 2022 macro to market outlook report that you just published.
Absolutely. You know, and it's great to be back on, you know, start of the year to kind of, you know, rethink things and to kind of get things in perspective. We published before the end of last year our 2022 macro to markets outlook report, where really as a kind of a compendium type format, a hybrid format, really leveraging the macro to markets monthly piece, which we've been branding over last year, where we have a combination of both content, macro thinking, and also kind of a PowerPoint style charts that are relevant and related to each topic that we were going through. And this was a much larger piece where I coordinated and contributed with my colleagues in mortgages and IG and high yield, where we try to cover as much ground on all the topics that are relevant for the U.S. fixed income markets. Starting off with a quick rundown through the year that we had last year, views on what to expect in the year ahead, and also highlighting some of the risks to the outlook. And in terms of what could change and things of that nature. Also covering a lot and spending a lot of focus on Fed policy, which will be still a big driver of things as they transition from what was a very ultra accommodative easing to tightening faster than they typically do. Going through a brief overview of the cross fixed income markets and then going into each product area. The key kind of takeaway for us is, this is really a key year where we're, balancing the macro versus, the markets. And I think that we're already starting to see some of that, unfold as the year starts off.
Thanks for that. There's clearly a ton there, and it's a great piece, and obviously too much for a 10-minute podcast. But let's go into some detail. Why don't we start off by giving our listeners a brief overview of your bigger picture macro calls for what may lie ahead?
Yeah, so we dubbed the year ahead really. It's going to be a period where we're going to have a tale of two halves, where I think the first half and what we're already seeing unfold as the year starts off, and I think we'll continue with the data, is that that we're really picking up from where last year left off. I mean, the life's a continuum, markets and economies are a continuum as well, and so it's not going to be too much different than what we've seen in both November, December, and a lot of that kind of momentum in the economy will continue into Q1. So I think it's going to be hard to distinguish in the early days of the year, where are we really heading for the full balance of the year? And so I do think the first half is going to be on the more stronger side. And in many ways, kind of echoes what we saw last year too. And largely, a lot of these big, recovery type years, the first couple of years of a recovery, the first halves are usually stronger on average. And so I think, the first half of being a stronger kind of environment, and then the second half being a little bit more challenging, will probably be the same for this year. And so, really think that's at the very, very super high level of what's likely to transpire. But I do think that this year there are going to be nuances along the way. Fed is being one of them, which I'll discuss briefly in a second. But it's going to come down to us triangulating three main factors on the macro landscape, which is going to be growth and its kind of trajectory, inflation on where it's heading, and also looking at financial conditions more closely, because we've lived in an environment of very highly valued assets, valuations, especially in equities and some other kind of credit markets. And with the Fed pulling back on easing, triangulating these kind of, you know, big pieces of the puzzle around growth, inflation, and financial conditions, I think is really what's going to set the, you know, set us up for the full year. And so with the Fed, you know, now in a position to tapering faster after its December meeting, you know, the actual QE will end in March, most likely. And, you know, that opens up a number of options and it makes it much more of a flexible period for the Fed, initially, at least more flexible in their response to both, you know, high inflation and, you know, an economy that's been, in my opinion, which I've been very vocal about, you know, overstimulated with too much easy money. And now they're trying to, you know, reel that back in a little bit. And I think that's where I think the rubber is going to hit the road when we start to see the QE finally come to a conclusion and end, Fed, you know, starting to hike. And also something that we've kind of mentioned in some of our publications, as well as discussing with clients, the idea of, you know, quantitative tightening might come much quicker this time than it did in the last cycle, where they may actually start to shrink the balance sheet faster or sooner, I should say, than what they did in the prior cycle, and potentially maybe faster as well. We don't know. So, you know, these are all kind of the known unknowns that are out there that will play a role in impacting financial markets. And then if financial markets were to respond in a more negative way, initially, now they're not. I mean, we're actually starting off the year with a decent risk on and rates rising, which is kind of more of this kind of emblematic of a kind of a pro-growth period. That all looks great for the first 2 days of the year, but, you know, I don't think we can really hang our hat on that as being the predictor of the future. And so I think as we get closer to the Fed ending its easing and actually physically tightening and then doing maybe QT for the first time earlier than it did last time, I think that's going to really set the stage for 2022.
Yeah, I think that was a great overview of the piece, and I really think how you discuss how financial conditions and high inflation, you know, could end up being, you know, really some sort of binding constraints, particularly interesting perspective, and the QT stuff, you've been early to that, and that's obviously gaining certainly at the very least gaining a little bit more attention. So, you know, all that being said, only time will tell how everything that you've just laid out will unfold. So why don't we use the rest of the podcast to bring things back and look a little bit more tactical. I'm curious what our listeners should be looking out for in the very near term. You mentioned yourself, you know, just two business days into 2022, there's been a pretty decent risk on trade. The market has, you know, sold off with the curve steepening pretty sharply. I'm curious if that changes at least the near-term view at all.
I think, you know, we got to obviously respect the price action and respect the sort of flows that are going through. I mean, it could be very, very well typical of the beginning of the year, these passive type flows. So it's hard to, you know, to really make a case that this is, you know, a big trend that's in place. But just, you know, very tactically, you know, there are a number of key factors that I'm looking out for, both to kind of support my longer term view, the more strategic view that's outlined in the piece, but also to kind of get a sense of, you know, where we are early on in the year, which, you know, I think really starts off with, you know, the Fed's minutes that are going to be coming out pretty soon. We have, you know, jobs data this week. And, you know, of course, seeing how the overall holiday shopping season and how that worked through in retail sales, I think it's going to be important. And of course, the big one being inflation and seeing if there's still upward pressure. You know, on the inflation front, I do think that, you know, we're still going to see a similar kind of situation, like a strong first half growth will also mean higher inflation, or at least inflation will remain high as it kind of end of the year in a 6+ handle on the headline. But I do think that, you know, we're going to at some point we're going to get mixed readings on inflation. And that's going to then throw, you know, the markets off a little bit as well, you know, where people might think that, oh, the Fed's going to postpone if inflation were to come off quicker because either supply chains are being resolved sooner or, you know, a whole host of other reasons why you know, headline might come down a little bit. But I do think that we have to put that all into context that we're still going to likely see high core inflation. So I think that the focus will be, you know, is there going to be a convergence between high, you know, headline inflation coming down towards what could potentially be a rising or a remaining elevated core inflation, which is really what the Fed focuses on. And I think that that kind of dynamic is going to be important to look into. So I think the, you know, the first couple of weeks of the year into the, you know, early part of February, where we have a January FOMC meeting, we have a March FOMC meeting, those two meetings are happening while they're still technically, in their eyes, easing, although they're tapering. So I do view tapering as a form of tightening because they're providing less liquidity into a market that's dependent on liquidity. So over a course of 3 months, a lot of things can change around, you know, markets. And so I'm really closely watching how markets are going to respond to the eventual end of QE, how the Fed communicates potential upcoming policy at its next, you know, couple meetings, as well as their minutes in between are going to be also very, you know, informing, as well as all the Fed speeches that we'll get in between as well. So, you know, Fed speeches, Fed updates, how they're transitioning us to a tighter policy world, and how the financial markets are responding to that, you know, that triangulation with then growth, inflation, and, you know, the various nuances thereof between all the data that we track is what I'll be looking for to see if we're on pace to end or to kind of see a world that looks like a tale of two halves, as we discussed in our piece.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting year, and it's been an interesting couple of days, and I suspect it'll continue to be an interesting couple of weeks. So plenty to watch out for. And for our listeners, I would definitely encourage you to check out George's 2022 Macro to Markets Outlook piece, as well as be on the watch for upcoming podcasts where George steps out of the hot seat and instead becomes an interview, interviews his colleagues Glenn Schultz, Eric Ruff, and Bill Matthews for their outlook on mortgages, IG, and high yields. And as always, if you aren't receiving George's strategy reports directly, please reach out to your MUFG sales coverage or get in touch with George or myself. Great stuff as always. Thanks again for being on the podcast, George.
Thanks, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.